Following is a message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Our sermon series this month is titled The Whole Truth, and so we are examining that with Easter Sunday. We talked about the whole truth of resurrection. And one of the things that I want to lay as a foundation is that when I talk about the whole truth, I mean a lot of different things. But one of the things that I mean is a truth that is not just known, but a truth that actually has an effect. A truth that has an effect, it has an outworking to it. And so as we pursue truth this month, we're not pursuing just knowledge of truth and let's tick the boxes of all the things that we believe are true, but I'm also asking the Lord for an experience of his truth this month and an outworking of his truth as we examine this together. That to me is the whole truth, that truth is meant to have an outworking. So we talked kind of at the opening of this series about this connection between love, truth, and power. That's kind of what we've been going after. I'm sure you're going, are we going to talk about this again? Yes, we are. Because it's important to me that we recognize, even as we talk about truth, that it is inseparable from love and power. And so the way that I put it a couple weeks ago is that the foundation of truth is love, and the effect of truth is power. That it releases something. And so that's why it was important to me that we spend time talking a little bit about the outworking of love. In this case, in the month of March, we kind of focused it and centered it around how the body of Christ loves one another and what that looks like and the activity of the body of Christ as a foundation. And this month, as we talk about truth, I want us to recognize that we can have all kinds of knowledge of truth, and if it's not grounded and founded in love, its ability to have power is hindered. And so it's important to me that we keep that connection between love and truth. I don't believe that love and truth are opposite ends of a spectrum. I believe that they're completely intermingled. The truths of God, even some of the hard truths that we may talk about today and next week, those truths are completely founded in the love of God. They're completely founded in what is good and right and beneficial and loving to us. And so we need to keep that together. I feel like sometimes there's less power in the truth that the church at large is releasing because it's not founded in love. It hasn't rooted itself in love. And so we have to cultivate that, and really the best way to do that is to stay in the presence of love himself and to just know how to allow love to dwell in us, to so that when I am speaking truth, when I'm working out of truth, it's coming from that place of love. The other thing is that we can sometimes see a love that also has no power. So we see something that looks like love, but it really has no actual power to change anything. And I would say that's because it's not married to truth. And so this is where I just think they're inseparable. Love, truth, and power. And if we want to be the light, if we want to see what God's doing, we need to be able to make space for those things. We need to recognize those things and learn to walk in all of those things in concert with one another. I feel like I just took off really, really fast. Are we okay? Okay, good. I don't know if there was more caffeine in my coffee this morning or not, but I feel like we just did one of those takeoffs that's like, but that's okay. Here we go. So last week, Pastor Bob spoke, and he talked about being a receiver and a broadcaster of truth. That we kind of told us how to position ourselves to be receivers of truth, to let that set us free, and then that our role is now to broadcast that, to share that with other people. One of the great features of that message was a lovely poem. Did you know that he was a poet? No. He is. And so he shared that special talent with us. I was deeply inspired by the rhyming. And so the it was good. The rhyming was good. Yes, and the message of the poem was good. I don't have a poem, but I have rhyming because I want to be just like my dad. So this message is going to be part one of a two-part message. I'll finish it up next week. And it's going to be on yielding to truth and wielding truth. And so today we're going to talk about what it means to yield to truth. Because we cannot wield truth. And when you think of wielding, we think about wielding a sword or using truth with our mouth, whatever, however we want to talk about it. We're going to talk about it in a lot of different ways next week. We cannot wield truth if we are not yielded to truth. We can't wield truth if we're not yielded to the whole truth, to the fullness of the truth of God. And so that's what I want to talk about today, is yielding to the truth, that we would posture ourselves in submission to the word of truth and to the spirit of truth. So when, just so that we're all on the same page, when I talk about the word of truth, I'm usually talking about the word, the written word of scripture. That's what that I'm referring to. When I talk about the spirit of truth, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. But this is, again, one of those things that I don't believe that we can separate. I feel like we have separated them sometimes. We have those that would say, I will accept the word of truth. I'm not real keen on the spirit of truth and the flow of that. And then we have those that say, I just want to focus on hearing from the spirit of truth and may not, or may sometimes neglect the word of truth. And I feel like they are one in the same. They are connected to one another. And so we're going to talk about both aspects of that. I'll probably talk a little bit more about scripture today, but we'll also be talking about yielding to the spirit of truth in obedience to the Holy Spirit and what he's telling us. Okay, so our goal and our heart, or I'll say it this way, my goal, my heart, is that we would create healthy, thriving believers, disciples of Jesus here. I believe that's the goal of the church. That's the goal of the activity of the church, is to sow into creating healthy, thriving believers in how they walk out their faith, and then equipping them to do the works of the ministry. And so part of that for me, what I look at in that, and part of, I feel like part of my job and part of our job as leadership of the church, is to provide three things for that to happen. And one of those things that we feel extremely, that we take very seriously the stewardship of, is that we want to provide encounters with the presence of God. We want to teach people how to connect to the presence of God, to his voice in their lives, to his the presence that changes things from the inside out. We want to steward that really well. It matters to us that in our Sunday morning services, you go away and say, I know that I encountered God in the midst of that time. Because we feel like that's the thing that changes everything for us. And so for us to be healthy, we need the presence of God. The other piece that we feel like we need to help facilitate and make available and speak into is the community, the family of God. That part of the goal of the church is to learn how to function in community and to function as family, and how to be submitted to that with one another, how to have that, you know, meet different people in the different places and stages of their life, that they can find community. And so to me, that's another piece of what we need to be healthy, thriving believers. The other piece that we feel that we have a stewardship of is bringing the word of God. That's a big part of my job, as I'm still going to say, the newly set in lead pastor. I think I can say that for like a year. I think I'm going to. Is that I would bring the word of God, that I would bring opportunities for us to encounter the presence of God through the word of God. and to then, as community, to talk about the Word of God, to enjoy the Word of God together and to hash it out. And so those three things, I think, are kind of the most important thing to me, that I'm protecting those aspects of how we operate as a body. And so we talked in March a lot about the community of God. And I'm going to focus today a little bit on the Word of God. And the way that I see this, because it's my desire, I have a strong desire to see people run hard after the calling of God in their life, to know what God's calling them to have that sense of purpose and to run after that. But I believe that there are two guardrails that help us run that race safely. And one of them is Scripture and the Word of God, and one of them is community. And sometimes we, you know, if you're on a, sometimes we don't like that. Even right now, there's a few of you that go, eh, I don't like that. I don't like guardrails. That, did she say guardrails? I thought this was a charismatic church. Do we have guardrails?
Yeah, we do.
We have guardrails. And I think, you know, if you are on a 300, a bridge that's 300 feet above the ground, you don't get on that bridge with your car and go, oh, stupid guardrails. I hate that. No, the guardrails is what helps you to drive with confidence. It helps you to know, I'm safe in this. I can, if you're on a bridge with no guardrails, do you drive faster or slower than a bridge with guardrails? And exactly. Oh, man. It was kind of a rhetorical question. No, I'm just kidding. So we want to have those guardrails for the sake of running with confidence. We can have confidence when we talk about, I can climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I know that I can trust you. What am I trusting? I'm trusting the truth of who you are. We can use that word picture. If you want to climb, I want you to climb the heights of who God is. I want you to climb the heights of faith. I want nothing to be impossible to you. And the way that that happens is you still, a climber, I'm not a climber, we could Google it, but a climber has things that they anchor themselves to. They have these points that they're anchored to, and it gives them confidence to climb. And so to me, that's the word of truth. It gives us, these are things that I can anchor to, that I go, I can climb wholeheartedly in this direction because I'm anchored to that. And I want us to, that's why it matters that we're yielded to the word of truth, that we're submitted to it. Okay, so here's what I'm going to say. I know that we can experience that freedom that I want us to run in when we have that yieldedness to the ways of the Lord. It's different. We can say, I have Scripture in my life, right? We can say, yeah, I have Scripture in my life. I have it on mugs. I have it on t-shirts. I listen to podcasts and they talk about Scripture or whatever. But there is a difference between having Scripture in our life, having the Word of God in our life, and being yielded to it. To me, it's kind of the difference between living together and being married. That there is a difference. We've had couples that have come to us, they've lived together for a long time, and they decide, we know that we want to be married, but it's not really going to change anything, and we go, oh, it's going to change everything. There's only so deep you can go when you're not yielded to one another, when there's not that commitment, when there's not that covenant, and there's a depth that they're going to go to that they haven't experienced yet. And the same is true with Scripture, that there's a difference between living with it and actually being committed and covenanted to it, to being yielded to it. And that's what we need to do in this time. I don't want to just live with the word of truth and the spirit of truth. I want to be submitted to it. So we talked about the body, that part of how we interact with the body of Christ and what we're called to is to be submitted to one another. The word also talks about being submitted to the words of truth, being submitted to the words of God, being submitted to the words of Jesus. If we look at James 1, verse 21, it says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness," or be submitted to, here under, yield to, "receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty," this is where the freedom comes. "He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in all that he does." So how do we know that we're yielding to the word? How do we know that we don't just have the word of truth in our lives, but that we're yielding to it? One of it is we receive the word with meekness, with teachability, with humility, with submission. And here's what I have noticed about my relationship with the word of God. There are two ways that I can approach it. There are times in my life when I have looked at the word of God like this: prove it. Prove it to me. And I'm challenging the word of God, and I'm coming to it not with humility. I'm coming with kind of a attitude of, prove it to me. Well, I don't see it there. And that's not being yielded to the word. I tell you often that part of my relationship with the word of God is to ask questions. I ask questions. And I'm not just asking questions of these letters, black and white pages. I'm asking questions, and I'm asking the Spirit of truth to come in and answer this with me as I look at your word. Show me what this means. But I'm yielded to it. It means that whatever you tell me is true, I'm going to submit to that. So I know that I'm yielded when I come with teachability. I don't think there's no amount of Greek words and Hebrew words and context and whatever that would ever make me think, yeah, I know it all now. Have you ever been around somebody that knows everything about the Bible? Is it me? No, okay. It's not me, by the way. There's way more that I don't know than I do know. But I know that I don't know what I don't know, or however that goes. And so there's a humility that comes that says, I'm here to be taught. I'm yielded to what you want to tell me here. Yep. Here's a funny thing. She's not here. Olivia's home. She's not sick, but sick enough that we didn't feel we should bring her here. And so she does this thing where she asks me a question. Should I wear this or this? The trick. And so then I pick one, and then she goes, yeah, no, I don't want that one. I'm going to wear this one. Every time. And I think sometimes we do that. See, there was an answer that she was looking for. I don't know why she was asking when she already had, I don't know if she wanted, you know, whatever. But sometimes we treat scripture like that. Do you say this or this? Well, I say this. I don't think so. I'm going to go see what the Greek word means about that. You know what I mean? We want to be yielded to and be taught by the word of God. Another way we know that we're yielding to the word is, it says it here in the same verse, be a doer, not just a hearer. If I don't do what it says, am I yielding to, am I submitted to the word of God? That's what yielding looks like, that it changes the way that I act. This is true for the word of truth, and this is true for the Spirit of truth. So when the Spirit of truth, when the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, this is the way to walk, Do I yield to that? Do I obey that? That's part of what it is to be submitted. It means I'm going to walk in obedience to. So do I walk in obedience to the word written, and do I walk in obedience to the Spirit? I've shared with you before times that I haven't walked in obedience to the Spirit because I've been yielded to something else more than I was yielded to that. I was yielded to the fear of man, or I was yielded to my own schedule. For those of you that missed that episode, I've shared before about times that I felt like the Lord asked me to go and speak with someone or encourage them or pray in the grocery store, and I haven't done it. And that it's broken my heart sometimes to think about, oh, I didn't yield to what the Spirit told me to do in that. And I'll come back with repentance and say, please don't stop speaking to me. I want to yield to that so I can do it next time, so I can do it the right way next time. But oftentimes, if we're not yielded, we're going to be yielded to something. Nobody's standing there not yielded to anything. So if we're not yielding to the word, if we're not yielding to the Spirit of truth that's speaking to us, then we're yielded to something else. And sometimes it is the fear of man, or it's our own way of doing things, or our own sense of comfort, or whatever it is. But we know that we're yielded when it changes the way that we act. Another way that we know that we're yielded is that we don't pick and choose what we're going to yield to in the truth. Are there different times that the Lord's focusing on different areas in our life? Absolutely. There are different times when the Lord's really focusing on an area of truth that he wants me to come into submission to. But it's not the same as going, yeah, I'll yield to this because it really fits with how I'm already feeling anyway. But I'm not going to yield to how that should look with how I use my mouth. Or I'll yield to this because I see all these verses that talk about justice and mercy and whatever, but I'm not going to yield to this righteousness that he demands as well. And so we know that we're yielded when we're submitted to all of it. What I get concerned about sometimes is when we become specialists in one area of truth. And everything, and again, I want to leave space. There are times when the Lord is bringing to us a revelation about particular truth. But we don't get to pick and choose and go, this is the part of truth that I'm going to build my entire life on. When the truth he's giving us is this. Does that make sense? Do these motions, is that? Okay. So... we want to yield ourselves completely to that. Now, that means sometimes that I go, I understand this truth. I don't understand this truth right now or how I should relate to it. But I can still be yielded in the fact that I'm still pursuing that. I'm still pursuing, what does it look like to walk in that kind of truth? So there's room for growth in this. All of this is a process. The Bible talks all over about growing in our knowledge of who he is. We're always growing in that. We're growing in our understanding of truth. We're growing in what we see. When we look and we go, oh, I see that verse differently now that I see it in context, or whatever it is. Okay, so we receive the word with meekness. We're teachable. We are a doer, not just a hearer. We don't pick and choose what aspect of truth we're actually going to submit to. The other thing is we don't use truth to only promote our own desires. So this is another thing that we can sometimes get into with the word, is we can treat the word like, here, will you validate me? I think this. Will you validate me? Oh yeah, that's in there. And it's okay. We do want to go. This should be our default mode. What does the word say about this? But kind of like what I talked about with the two different outfits, it's like we want to come and not just say, tell me that what I believe is true, but tell me what is true. about this and come to it asking, what is true? The truth does not bend to us. The truth, we bend to it. That's the shaping. That's when he says, be transformed. That's the shaping that he's doing. He's transforming us. He's molding us into what the truth is. And so we want to be submitting to and yielded to that process. So,
yeah.
It's going to be a big week next week. Here's my heart. My heart for people is freedom. And somehow we can think, and not maybe not us as much, but people can think that if I submit, if I yield to truth, that's going to be control and bondage. But what does the truth of the Word of God tell us? It's the exact opposite. It's the exact opposite. When we submit to truth and when we submit to Scripture, there comes a freedom in our life. It releases a freedom in our lives. And so even as I talk about knowing the Word and being intentional about knowing the Word, my concern is that there's this feeling of like, you're telling me I'm supposed to read my Bible every day, and that feels like control. No, I'm not telling you that. But I am telling you that for us to yield to the truth of the Word and for us to yield to the truth of God speaking to us in the moment, which oftentimes he'll do through the Word, by the way, that there needs to be an intention around that. That's how we know we're yielded to it. We seek that out. And the reality is the more truth we know, the more freedom that comes in our life. The more truth we know, not just about what he wants us to do or not do, because that's really ancillary to just who he is. The things that's part of the perimeter of who he is. It's the things that we do or don't do really come out of just the nature of who he is. The more truth I know about who he is. If you are feeling stirred and inspired to go after truth in the Word of God, I'd encourage you to read in John. It's always, anyone who ever asks me, I go, start in John. Maybe that's wrong. I should ask if that's the truth. But it just always helps me to go, because it helps us to see truth about who Jesus was, his nature and his character, and to connect to that. And there's something about John in the way that he lays out just who Jesus is and his plans on the earth that releases us into seeing the rest of Scripture through a different lens, at least for me. So I would encourage you, don't feel like that brings you into any kind of bondage. It's going to set you free. So here's what we're considering as I close. Where is my foundation? Or what are my guardrails? Or what am I anchored to? Whatever word picture you want to kind of look at as it relates to truth. I have three other word pictures that I'll save for next week. But what is it? There is something that your life is planted on, and if it's not the Word of God, it's planted on whatever you decide in the moment. It's planted on whatever your experience is, or someone else's experience, or what popular opinion is, or what your feelings are. And so we want to have the stability of knowing that we're planted on the Word of God. Jesus talked about that, saying you can build your life on sand or on a rock. And so we want to press into that. I would say that this is a time, and hopefully I can talk about it a little more, this is a time that the enemy is trying to erode any trust that we have in what we would say is the truth. He's coming and he's trying to erode that connection we have to what the truth is. And if we continue to be built on the rock, it won't happen. We'll stay in the confidence and in the courage of what is true. Okay. So here's, as I close, and Luke, you can come up in a sec, I'll call you up. We're going to make our default mode, what does the Word of God say? What does the Spirit of Truth say about this? Lord, what do you want to tell me about this? When it's something in my own feelings, sometimes I can go to the Word, because it's amazing how often the Word will tell me something about the faultiness of my own feelings. But a lot of times I'll go to the Spirit of Truth and I'll say, what do you want me to know about this right now? What is the truth about this? Because this is what feels really true. And I'll let the Spirit speak into that, and then I'm going to yield to that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Did you have a word? Okay.
I had a footnote for you. You know, the word meekness is so misunderstood by us. What do you see as meekness? Like kind of going like this? Lowly. The word meekness is used to describe a horse that was, when the horse heard the fray or heard the sound of battle, he would rush to it. And you got that? That is not what we picture as weakness, but that Greek word is used to describe a horse. And it was the willingness, actually the excitedness, when it heard the fray, what it was made to do. When it heard that, it would rush into it. I don't know how else that. But I think that's really, when we see that word meekness, it always has this other color to it, and it should not.
I love that.
Isn't the Word awesome? What it can show us when we really dive into it. So here's our prayer. Posture yourself, because we're just going to pray. This is the prayer of my heart right now as we, this whole month. Lord, I ask that you would let your truth have its way with my heart. I ask that you would let your truth have its way with my mind. I ask, God, that you would let your truth have its way with my mouth. I'm going to talk about that next week. I ask that you would let your truth have its way with my hands and the work of my hands. So God, we just ask that you would let your truth have its way with us, that it would be our default mode to come to you and say, what does the Word of Truth say? What does the Spirit of Truth say? And that we would yield to it, and that it would give us courage to rush in. It would give us courage to the call that you have on us in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. To learn more about us, please visit livingwatersmn.org.